Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Girl, You Know It. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, Girl, You Know It is an offshoot podcast for Black Women Connect Vancouver, where we want to create connection spaces in different ways and talk about our shared experience as Black women and femmes in serious ways, in silly ways, and everything in between. So today, for our season 4, episode 2 podcast, we have a guest. We're so excited. But before we introduce our guest today, I want to say I'm Natizia Mukwavi, founder of Black Women Connect Vancouver, and I will be your host today.
I just skipped you, Abby. I'm Elle Wera. I am the Community Engagement and Volunteer Coordinator for Black Women Connect Vancouver.
And I am Abigail Abby, the Project Assistant in Black Women Connect Vancouver.
Welcome, season 4. We're excited. So, Farina, introduce yourself. Who are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me. Yes. I'm excited to be here. My name is Farina Achor Beamish. I am the founder of Farina Achor Creative, which is a multidisciplinary PR agency located in Vancouver, British Columbia. I specialize in building communities for companies in the sense of like making sure that the world understands what they're trying to produce, how to get them out in the world, and creating a really good community around them as well.
Yeah, so excited. So we're going to dive into who you are, what did you do, and kind of, we don't really know what PR is, you know?
You're like, what is it?
People are always like, what is PR? Like, you know, and so I think it would be cool to kind of get to know more about your experience. So let's talk about a little bit about your experience in Vancouver. Did you grow up here? How long have you been in Vancouver if you hadn't been growing up here?
So I grew up in Ottawa. From 8 until 25, I moved here on my 25th birthday. So I'm almost at 10 years in Vancouver in like a few days. So I've been in Vancouver for almost 10 years, originally from South Sudan. And growing up in Canada in general, like I think Ottawa was a very multidisciplinary, I don't know what is that?
Multicultural.
Yeah, I was like, what is the word? Yeah. Multicultural city, as like I went to a high school with a bit of everyone in there. Mm-hmm. So moving to Vancouver in 2013 was a bit of an adjustment for me. where I was like, and I moved into Kits and I was like,
oh gosh.
Okay. I was like, where is everyone that's Black?
Yeah.
So yeah, the first 2 years were very hard for me. I came here because I wanted to do my second undergrad, and then I went to UBC for a hot minute. I didn't enjoy my experience at UBC, so then I was like, let's maybe rethink that. And then just kind of fell into a job that like helped me develop in the space that I am in right now. So, but yeah, like I feel like the first 3 to 4 years in Vancouver were very hard for me. I didn't enjoy it. The first 2 years I was like, should I leave? And then I think I was able to find like a really good sense of community, good people. And that kind of helped me, you know, stick it out at 10 years now. So
That's awesome.
Can I ask you, what was your second undergrad that you were trying to pursue?
I wanted to be a dietitian.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a very sense of like, I always wanted to understand the body and like why certain foods like does certain things to us, da da da. So that was my goal, to understand and help people with that. And then, first of all, I don't like sciences.
Fair.
I was like, oh, it's really hard to be to do sciences again in your mid 20s. And so, it just like it didn't work out for me, which is okay. Like it just took me on a different journey, and I learned a lot. And like, it helped me get into the space that I am in right now, like to be in health and wellness for most of my clients. So,
Well, that makes sense. What made you want to leave Vancouver? Because I know for me, I don't even know how long I've been here. I know I moved out here when I was 18, so that's a while. So I know a lot, I have had a few friends move out to Vancouver and they say the same thing, like they'll kind of be here for a year, but like, I think I'm gonna move back, even from like Saskatchewan or like Alberta and things like that. What is it about Vancouver that you feel that people are like, I want to leave?
I think I had a really great sense of sisterhood, and I've known these girls like my whole life. And so it was just hard to make friends. I think that's really the biggest thing. I think everyone's so comfortable in their friendships. A lot of the friends that I have made are people who aren't originally from Vancouver. I do have a good group of friends that are from Vancouver, but majority of them don't actually live here. So I think we all like somehow came together and we're like, we can be friends.
Yeah.
But that was the biggest struggle. I think everyone was kind of in their own lane and they're very comfortable in it. So to be able to try to like stick yourself in it. So I think that was the biggest thing. Yeah. I think not being around enough black people. Mm-hmm. I remember like trying to get my hair braided. I was like, you want to charge me what? I'll go home to Ottawa and get my hair braided. So it's just like those little things. I think they just eventually add up, especially when you're so lonely.
Yeah.
I'm not used to not having such darkness with like rain, living in a basement suite, all this stuff. My first few years, it was just all these little things. And then got out of the basement suite. That was one thing. that helped. Yeah. And
makes
so,
a huge difference.
Yeah, it made a huge difference to like have sunlight all the time and just like get in with a good group of people that,
Well, moving from there to tie into what you do now. So tell us a little bit about PR in Vancouver. What does that look like? What made you start your own business?
So I started my business in 2020. I was working for a company for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. When I was working with them, I was doing a few different things. I started off in brand and community and then shifted from brand to communities to special projects, which kind of like was a mix of PR, but still with marketing. So when I left them, I actually wanted to work for a female-led company. I was like, you know what? I've always worked for a boys club. So why can't I, you know, work for a female-led company? And that was, you know, early 2020. And then the pandemic happened and that kind of took a really big stop. And I was like, okay, well, clearly no one's hiring right now. Yeah. Everyone's like in a hiring freeze. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do with the people they have in house. And then I had someone who I was kind of like just in conversation with a lot. She was very supportive and she was like, you know, like she's also an entrepreneur in Vancouver. And she was just like, well, you're female. You can be an entrepreneur. You can be a founder. And I was like, no, I can't. And I literally, she told me this like right at the beginning of the pandemic and I just brushed it off for a very long time. And then I started looking into the idea of it. And then, summer 2020, I just kind of was like, let me be a sole proprietor. So I registered my business and then there we are.
Wow. I didn't know it was so early on. I thought you were doing it for
a
while.
So what was the change that was like, why not?
Yeah.
Like, where did it click for you?
I think for me, the biggest part is like being comfortable with the fear of failing.
Yeah.
I think like that was always why I didn't want to do it. Cause I was like, oh, I'm going to fail at it, which I've had in like throughout the 3 years I've been in it. Like I just had so much fear around that. And then when like, she was like, failure is okay. That's how you're going to grow in business. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So that helped me shift my perspective. I think the first year I wasn't great at my job as an entrepreneur. Yeah. I wasn't, I think I was like understanding how to run a business. I've never done that in my life. So, it was I don't know. It just clicked, I guess.
And you were like, let's do
it. Let's do it. I was like, let's try it out. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. It was just hard. Like, I think like we all saw what happened in 2020.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was like, where do I go? Where do I fit in? Do I want to be in an environment that like, you know what I mean? Like thinking about like past jobs and all that stuff. I was like, no, let's run the show.
Yeah. That's did so you awesome. Go to school for it or you kind of like felt, like you said, you fell into the job?
Yeah, I fell kind of into the job and then it just kind of like progressed. So I actually went to school for human geography. I did take some comms class like at Carleton, but I was not a comms major whatsoever.
So hard.
Yeah, I did not go into school. I know most people, that's kind of the direction that they do. They do like PR or I know SFU has a program. Most universities have like a communication program. Yeah. I didn't do that. Nope. Not at all.
Love
but
it.
You fell into it because of your previous job.
Yeah, I fell into it because of my previous job and just the systems that they put into place that helped me kind of understand what to do in this world in PR and, you know, how to leverage my connections and how to leverage who I am.
Yeah.
I guess one of my questions is, in starting your own business, and you said leveraging your connections, how helpful or unhelpful were people in the business when you were starting up?
I think everyone was actually quite supportive, to be honest. Like, I think I was fearful. Mm-hmm. So, like, the day I posted on Instagram that I started my business, I think I got, like, everyone was really supportive. Everyone was reposting it, the congratulations, all that stuff. The first year, everyone, like, the people who wanted to help, helped me where they could. So I think that was, so I have nothing negative to say about the business owners that helped me in the in the city. They know who they are, and they were really supportive.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So it's like you came here, and 4 years later, or how many years since you come to BC? Because you said you came when you were 25, then it was 2020 when you started your business. 4 years at the
we're trying to do
place.
Math. We can't do math.
So
I don't even know where she's going with this.
So 3 years ago, I'll be 35 in 10 days. So 3 years ago, I was 32.
So because you said 2 years. That's when you started making those connections with people, right?
Yeah. I think the job I left helped me make some really solidified relationships in the city. Yeah. Like, I think because I was involved in a lot of community stuff, like I was out there meeting people, conversation, like I was outside. I did not need to be. I think about how outside I was back then. I was like, I understand why I'm so like removed now.
You put in a lot of work.
Yeah, I was outside.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, don't touch me. Don't tell me. Don't invite me.
You'll invite me, but know that I'm going
to
say no.
Invite me that I might come or I might not come. Yeah. And like, I try to like Natasha knows, like I try to support people who I care about. Yeah. Like even if I'm tired, I will show up and try to support you. But I will say no. I love N-O.
Yeah. It's a boundary.
Yeah. Yes. I'm learning boundary is fun for you.
Yeah.
She's a good boundary person. Yeah. I was like, no, she's like, no, I will just say no. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, why am I
calling you? Yeah, no. No.
So starting this business as a Black woman in the city, how does that, because from what we know, it's only you and someone else, right?
Yeah, it's one of my really good friends, Sharla. She has Easy Consulting. She's also in PR. It is hard because I think that you want to be there out there, but you also don't want to get taken advantage of. I think that's probably the biggest one. For me personally, I can't speak for Sharla, but so I would say that's probably that is like, and also, like, this is what I struggled with the most is, like, my worth is worth you paying it. And I think I, like, was like, no, I'll just, like, I know you can't pay it, so it's fine. But that was, like, my first year. But then now I'm like, here's my fee. Mm-hmm.
This is what it is.
Yeah, and if you can't pay it, that's okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a bit of a struggle. So I think, like, because I'm so stern in my ways, I don't want that to affect another Black woman whoever goes in PR because I'm like, I want everyone to know that you got to pay up or whatever, or respect us within the industry. So I feel like it's hard. I think it's just like in a city where there's not a lot of Black women, it ends up being difficult in life in general. So
that makes sense.
But it's fun.
It's hard when you, like you said, you, like, here's my fee, and you are being stern with it, because we've been taught so much of like, well, you're giving like the space, just take whatever they give you.
Exactly.
It's like we're like,
exposure.
Like, oh, we could do this and we'll advertise your business everywhere. Like, that's like, not paying my rent.
Exactly.
Like,
no, and that's the thing. We got mortgages to pay. Yeah. We got this. We got
inflation,
that.
Like.
Yeah. We got food.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. I think that's what I've noticed a lot, even like running an organization as well, is a lot of people are like, well, we'll do this for you if you do this. And I'm like, I just don't see a benefit. If the partnership doesn't work, no thanks.
The math isn't math.
No. Yeah. No way.
Yeah. In the beginning, I'm like, oh, we wanted our name out there. But now I'm like, nope, I don't have the time. I don't care.
Like, I have a baby at home.
Yeah, like, I have a baby. I'm like, Kiki, I'm like, I'm a mother. I just don't care. Like, I'm sorry.
Tama, can we just talk about how
I'm a mother?
She was in Usher's music video. As like a,
we're trying to see Usher, man. I'm trying to see Usher.
It's gonna be like by the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's extended those days.
Right? He's playing until December.
Oh.
The man said, run me your money. Yeah. You
need to just go back on tour again.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, that was a sidetrack. Could never sidetrack with Usher.
Yeah.
Okay, so what PR firms do you admire and why? And it doesn't even have to be local. It can be just like even companies that are global. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One that I actually admire a lot and like I always look to her. She's based out of New York. Her name is Sandrine Charles. Multidisciplinary. She's mostly in like the fashion world. And she's a Black woman.
Okay. Yes.
And she's been, when you hear her speak, you're just like, yeah, I want to do PR. Like I want to, like she's very passionate about her job, but she's also very honest about it. And I think that's also necessary in the space when she's like, oh, it's not fair game for everyone. I'm a Black woman leading a company. Mm-hmm. So I think just like seeing her and who she works for and like she's done some really amazing work. So I think that's one. Another one is not really, she started in an agency world, but she kind of like has become huge. Emma Greed. Mm. She is the one behind like Skims and Good America. She her story is that she started her own agency back then when she was in London at a very young age and kind of just like worked her way up, sold her agency, and then like look at her now. She's one I look up to. My really good friend Sharla, I think she's amazing. I tell her all the time, I'm like, no one does influencer marketing like her.
Yes.
Like she understands the trends. She's always on top of it. She is, she's on top of it. I would say like if you need to understand social media trends, that's your girl.
Okay.
Influencer, that's your girl. There's another one. Her name is Madison. She's also based in New York. She is Black. Hers is more of like a branding creative agency type, but also love a lot of the work she's done. So, and she talks a lot about mental health as a Black woman and an entrepreneur, which I think is really important in that space. And she talks about burnout.
Yeah.
So I think to be able to like, I think we're not just our jobs and to have like women, like all of them who, you know, talk about their career, but also talk about their day-to-day life of like who they are as well and what's important to them. Yeah. So I think that's like, those are kind of the ones who I, you know, kind of admire. Yeah.
You know what's funny? I didn't really know too much about PR until like Beyonce. And because of Beyonce's PR person.
Yes.
That woman?
I
forget her name every time. Anytime.
It starts with a Y.
Yeah, anything that happens with Beyonce, she is the PR behind that.
She used to be Prince's PR too.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
Yeah. She is very smart. Yes. She is Grenadian. Grenadian?
Mm-hmm.
And she's. And she does it for like Chloe and Bailey.
Chloe, Haley, Bailey.
There you go. I was like, what is it? She does it for them. Yeah. She's great.
Yeah.
Because I think Beyonce is a very, we see it. She's very particular and calculated. And to have someone who understands her is so important.
Yeah.
And that's a huge part of our job is to be able to understand like what our clients really want to see and like basically executing it and to do it at like, where I'm not changing their vision.
So are you like the PR person? Is that the person who's given the NDRs like that?
NDAs?
Oh, like PR person.
Are you just the vision?
That's a lawyer. NDAs are lawyers. I'm not trying to.
Like,
So with PR, you basically are trying to tell like a story and have like a vision of like
who.
Yeah,
are.
Exactly. Like for example, like if I got hired on by a wellness company who own a gym, they're trying to go out in the world and tell them why they're different and what's new about them. So it's like, how do I, you know, tell publications they're not like every other gym that's in Vancouver? What's their story? Why are these two different?
Okay, so you're the person behind.
Yeah. And getting them into publications. Yeah. If we have to do an event to like create like, buzz around them. Just things like that. Yeah. Just like a part of it.
Like,
yeah, that's no like
idea.
A really
yeah,
part
so
of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is why we're having to discuss. Exactly.
I do understand why you asked that though, because sometimes like things are on the hush hush.
Yeah.
Before things launch.
Yeah. And it's important.
And it's important that like you can't like tell trade secrets or like a competition. Like so I understand why.
Yeah,
you
there's definitely there's contracts. There's definitely contracts.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of smaller companies, and so like in the sense that, like, I'm not at Beyonce level where I have to, you know, tell and 20, have a team where I'm like, you can't say this, you can't say that, you can say that. It's generally me, the client, and maybe two other people on their team.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit easier. But, like, yeah, like, if they're opening in, like, 2 weeks and we're saying to media, hey, please do this, put this press release out about this company opening and why they're cool, da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So how do you choose your angles for a story pitch? Or, like, do you, are you one of those people like, I need to go for a run first? Like, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to focus. Watch reality TV.
Big you know I love my reality TV. I cannot.
Like,
I was like, quietly. Housewives, Bad Girls Club, Wags, let's talk about it. No. I always meet with my clients for an hour before we start everything, and they kind of just, like, talk to me about everything and anything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, just lay it on the line. Mm-hmm. I got time. Yeah. Let's write things. Yeah. And that kind of gives me an idea of, like, what I could tell what they were looking for and, like, how they want to come out in the world and, like, how we can create that a bit differently than everyone else. So honestly, it takes time when creating a pitch. I think that's the one of the hardest part of my job, because I have to be, like, kind of in my own little zone. I generally, like, you don't care for me for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, it's because your hands, your job is in someone else's, like, that someone else's career on your hand, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do I make sure that what I'm putting out in the world and what people are reading about them is impactful?
Yeah.
How long does it take between meeting a client for the first time and, like, executing whatever product that you want to do for them?
Ooh, it depends. It honestly depends how big it is. Mm-hmm. I generally, like, I would love 3 months.
Yeah.
It's never given to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
as in, like, you are given, like, usually 2 months to do it, or, like, more?
Sometimes even, like, a month.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, I've had some clients are great where I've been giving, like, 2 to 3 months to, like, whatever, we'll meet, I'll create strategy, send you the strategy, you look at it, we don't like the strategy, so we have to start over again. So that could, like, you know, that could go back and forth for at least 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
If we're good and it takes us a week to do it, then, like, I feel confident doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, so say you're opening a store in October. Mm-hmm. I would like to be on your team and helping you by, like, July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Just to give that time. Yeah. But it's honestly never.
It's never.
Yeah, it's never. Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Go
yeah. Now. Like, it's everyone, because I think when people start to think when they need PR, they're like, oh, I need it now.
Afterthought.
Yeah. So
it's not
I'm
like a pre-planning.
Exactly.
Thing.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, I need it now. So I'm going to just, you know, I have to do it. So, yeah. Time.
That makes you so hard.
Yeah.
You're really definitely under pressure every single time.
It is. Like, yeah, I feel it sometimes. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That was, like, flashback to anxiety.
No.
I was like, brought me back to, like, different jobs.
No, I feel it.
Like, dread in our stomachs.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is I just have to be organized. Like, my first year, I was a mess. Yeah. By year two, I was like, oh, I kind of get it. Yeah. And then by year three, I was like, oh, I got my organization set. Yeah, but it's taken me a while, and I'm one to admit that I was not great my first year.
But you're learning.
Exactly.
Did you have clients actually call you out for that? Or
yeah. And I'm also I'm a Virgo. So for me, I was like, I need to be better. Mm. I need to understand how to be better. But I've definitely had, like, client breakups that are mutual, or they were like, ma'am. I was like, I get it. No problem. So.
That's fair. Yeah. So it's up to you if you want to answer this question. But what media, I guess, publication or media are you proud of, like, the most? Like, I know you have a company that you work for.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say the company, but I think the biggest one. The biggest one I was really proud of was Mind Body Greening. I got one of my clients in there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tell their story, but it was a bit of an emotional one, because the story that came out was something they've never publicly talked about.
Oh.
And so, yeah, it was a beautiful piece. The person who wrote it is a really, like, writes really beautifully, mm-hmm. but I think to be in Mind Body Green. Like, my name's not going to go on it, yeah. but it's just to see that very there. I was like, very that proud. Was really cool. Yeah. There's another story coming out in hopefully a month for a client mm-hmm. that I think it tells their story very beautifully of who they are and mm-hmm. why they do what they do. So I'm excited for that to come out into the world mm-hmm. as well. Yeah, I think it's just like to see things like that come out is just great. So I think I'm proud of all of them because I just like it got done. Yeah, I got it got done. Yeah. But yeah,
I think also like hearing the way you speak, it's not just about like obviously the store or yeah. the brand. It's like a human connection. Yeah. It's like making a story relatable to yeah. potential oh, yeah. consumers, oh, right? Totally. And so once you like hit on that nail, you're like, okay, let's do
we
this.
We did it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I will say that I don't take on a lot of clients mm-hmm. Because I am a very like, I want to make sure I do a good job yeah. and I do bring the connection around it too. So
you're an intentional person.
Very, very. Like very Solange says, move with intention. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So very. What would you describe to be a creative or an effective campaign? Either for yourself or like when you see kind of things out there.
Or maybe the question should be, what is not an effective? I want to get a tea. Like,
what is not? You're like, give me yeah, the yeah, bad like, thing.
When you like see something in your eye roll, you're like, I could have done that.
I don't know. I'm trying to be all like diplomatic. Yeah, I know. Give me the dirty
stuff.
Sorry, you can go with the positive.
No, it's okay. I'm going to say it. I just find that sometimes when you see, you're like, they're directing this at one demographic. And you're like, you see it. And I'm always like,
Vancouver.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Not, and even globally. And you're yeah. like, there's billions of people in yeah. this world. And some people are going to see it. And some people are not going to see it, especially in North America. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, wow, you really thought this was the only people that were going to see this. Ooh. So I think I always get disappointed when people do things and you're like,
it could have been great.
But at the end of the day, not everyone's for everyone. Yeah, and that's something true. That I always have to remind myself and kind of be like, on to the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I got mine. That's my question. So I'm happy.
Okay. So what do you do if a manager or a client or someone disagrees with kind of your pitch? Like you've already said, like, we go back and forth, or you kind of take it and be like, okay, because they're paying you.
Yeah.
But then at what point is it kind of like, no, this will really work? Like,
yeah.
Kind
of that's a hard one. Honestly, I try to go back and forth like at least 3 times mm-hmm. if someone's like, I don't like it, do give me.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'm like, do you actually want me to be here?
Yes.
Like, and because I'm like, it's like, I'm going to take the money, mm-hmm. but like,
Now you're losing. Now you're wasting my time and your
and
own
that's
time.
My big thing. Yeah. I don't like people wasting my time.
That's it.
I don't like people that are late. Yeah. I don't like people wasting my time. It's traffic. But no, like I just find like it's wild to me when people are like, no. And I'm like, okay, give me what are you not seeing that I'm not seeing? Yeah. And I'm good for feedback.
Yeah.
What am I seeing that you're not seeing that wants to be done? And if I can't do it, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Find someone else.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And I'm good for being like, this person's great. This person's great.
Yeah, referring.
Because I know I'm not good at everything. Mm-hmm. Like there are certain things I just don't provide.
Yeah.
Yeah, at all. And that's literally influencer stuff. Like I'm always like, Sharla.
Yeah.
That's her girl. Yeah. That's not me. Yeah. That's her girl. So yeah.
I do like the fact that you like, or not, I wouldn't say like humble, but like you just know what your scope is and you know what your niche is. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm not trying to be something else other than like, you know.
I learned that in my first year. Yeah. I tried to be I tried to be everything for everyone. And I just wasn't like, it just did not work out. And so by halfway through year two, I was like, what am I actually really good at? So I've like narrowed it down to what I just provide, the services I provide.
Yeah.
because I'm not good at some things.
Yeah. Is there some things now that you're like, oh, I want to kind of grow in this area now, or maybe start providing more in this area or work with these type of companies now that you've kind of figured out?
Yeah. I think influencer marketing is one that I honestly wish I understood better. Mm. I think influencers have such a huge impact in like a lot of business decisions, and we've seen the industry grow so much. So I think for me to have a better understanding to like how to do it for an individual, but then how to like really get the perfect, not even perfect because there's no one who's perfect, but the best influencers sometimes for certain projects. Right. But yeah, like understanding individual influencers and how to grow people's like, you know, as if you were like, I want to be an influencer. Yeah. I want to understand how to help you grow. So I think that would be some place that I'd want to learn how to.
Yeah. I think you'd do good at that, actually.
I think you do.
I would see you doing it with like the influencers that are intentional with their and not just like, oh, I'm doing this, but like kind of want to tell their story. Because there's not that many out there that do that really well, I feel. No. Where they can be kind of vulnerable but also private, you know what I mean? And still share their life where people are like, I connect with
you on
the balance.
It's a really hard balance. Yeah. Especially with the algorithm you're trying to
Be. Oh, it is such a hard balance. Because some days I'm like, I want to share with people. Yeah. And then other days I'm like, none of your business. Yeah. None of your business. And that's why I post late. Like, I'm the worst on Instagram because my friends are like, this girl ain't posting for 3 weeks.
Like, and then I see for a July dump.
Yeah, I know. I just because I'm not
it's hard,
it's very hard, and I think like there are really some good people who can do it, but I think the why behind everything is really important.
I agree. I really struggle with that. That's probably like one of my biggest struggles. Mm. Is like, how do you do that but then also keep your private life while you are running something? You know what I mean? Because people feel like
they're entitled to your
into my life. And so it's like, I know if I share something, they'll be like, oh, I know Natasha. I'm like, no, you do not. You know? And it was the same like when I was like dating someone, I like no one knew
about except really close.
Yeah, people got
like, why did you post that?
You were engaged, you were seeing someone, you got married.
You had a baby.
You know who does it really well?
I saw my stomach. I was
You're like, there's a belly.
And so I really struggle with it. So I understand. And I do think that there is a market for that because I would totally hire you for that. Because it's hard. It's really hard.
It is.
Because I want to. But then I don't know how to do it properly. Where it's like, I can be aesthetically pleasing because I also hate that. Anything to do with that, you know what I mean? But also like, how do you share your story properly? You know, and that's actually like,
I want to really understand that really well.
And I do think because there's other people that I know that really want to do that, but it's like, how do we do that in the old world, especially in Vancouver where so many like influences are fake, you know? And like
You know who does it well? Melissa made me do it. Mm. The one in the UK, the black girl. Stormy's stylist. Stormzy. Yo, that girl understands it. Mm. She got married last year. No one's ever seen her husband.
The ghost.
You don't have to post.
No one knows what her husband looks like. No one, like, she posted her wedding photos and you're like,
ma'am.
Like Issa Rae.
But Issa Rae, we see you. This to this day, she's been married for almost a year. We don't know what her husband looks like.
That's okay.
But she is such a, like, she is like, so she'll post something on Instagram and people, this hashtag Melissa made me do it.
Yeah.
People will buy it out. Ooh. Like people will, like it, she posts like about like the body oil. There's a body oil, it's the Aveeno body oil. It's always sold out. Like, she'll post about like a Zara outfit. It's always sold out. I'm gonna send you her Instagram. And she's Ghanaian. She's so funny too. She understands how to be an influencer but also be private. I'll send you her Instagram. Okay. She's so good.
Get some inspiration.
You're like, this, I'm gonna do it. So
It's true. I mean, even like the whole like people like, we need to post your spouse, you need to do all this. Like, I don't owe you nothing. People's spouses also want to be private. There's a lot of people who don't see that part and you're like, my spouse all doesn't want to be on social media. Why do you feel that I need to be posting that? Like, I just never understood that. Like, and I hate that, I think, about social media and about sharing your stories because everyone feels like, let me share everything. And Jam Gamble, she is in Toronto, and same thing, like she is an influencer, but also does like seminars on speaking and things like that. And people are always like, why don't you post your husband? Like sometimes he'll like cook dinner and stuff. He'll be in the background and they're like, post your husband. And then she always has to do like PSAs of like, excuse me, this is my platform. Like, why do you feel the need to like, people just, and so that's the only thing about that world that I don't like of like how, like,
Because at the end of the day, your partner, unless they're making money off of it too, they didn't sign up for it. And that's where I like, at the end of the day, I chose to have Instagram. My husband has it too, but he didn't ask to always be on my feed. And like, so
But you know, the happiest people are the ones that are not posting every 5 seconds. Enjoying their life, right? Outside.
So,
So, but this has been so good.
I know.
It's very God. I was like, I hope you got, you learned a little bit.
No, we, I learned a lot. I don't know what PR is.
You're like, listen.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure.
For having me and Kiki. And so this is so cute.
We always love having guests, and so you're welcome anytime. So
don't do that. Don't invite me. I'll be like, hi. You want to talk about, listen, can we do a reality TV. One?
There's going to be an episode. Girl, don't there's going to be an episode.
No, I'm coming.
We'll get you. We'll get
you. Once all the seasons come out, we're good. Wrap up.
Great. I love it. I'm here for it.
So thank you so much for joining us, Farina, and everyone that's listening. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you next episode.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast episode. You can find us in all streaming platforms, and you can watch our video recording up on YouTube channel, Black Women Connect Vancouver. Until next time.